Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to the In the Truck podcast. I was going to have Snitfit on today. I don't know if you remember him. He's a pretty funny guy. But it didn't work out. I got stuck doing work nonsense. And he was available, I guess, at 12. And I couldn't get to Wi-Fi by then. See, when I do the guest episodes, I have to be in Wi-Fi. And it's hard to explain the whole story. But essentially, the phone that has the app on it doesn't have service because I keep all my personal social stuff separate, so it's not really a phone, it's kind of like a tiny iPad that I can talk into and record the episodes. So the app's on there, so in order to do a guest I have to get in Wi-Fi, which if you listen to the episode yesterday, I actually tried to record the the Ed Lattimore episode at Starbucks while not buying anything. But the Wi-Fi connection was very weak. So I actually went to Panera Bread, which is next door, and I bought a coffee. Because I don't hate their coffee. So that was that. So today, we were going to have Snitfit. Didn't work out. Hopefully we'll get Snitfit. Maybe I can record in the morning. That might not work, and then if not, then next week we'll get him. I'm gonna get him back. And I really wanted to get him on this week because I wanted to talk to him about that Fresno professor lady, but maybe he'll talk about it next week. Then again, maybe something fun and exciting will happen between now and then that we'll need his insight on. Today's walkout day. All the children. We're going to walk out of school from behind the brick walls that protect them out into the open outside the school to protest school violence. And they're very open-minded students. They only care about the children. And they all political ideologies are welcome. And all solution... No, I'm just kidding. It's an anti-gun rally. They hate guns and conservatives. And despite the fact that conservatives and guns have nothing to do with school shootings, they're going to protest them. They want federal laws. We want federal laws. We want federal laws to stop guns. And we will not rest until there's federal laws for guns. One of the prerequisites for being a socialist, communist, progressive, postmodernist, I was going to say postmodern thinker, but that's sort of a contradiction in terms, so we'll just call them postmodernists. The ist means that you have no sense of humor, by the way. That's what that means in English. Did you know that? My Aunt Anita, who is one of my favorite human beings ever in my life that I ever met, was an amazing lady, and she was a lesbian, and she was incredibly smart and funny and hardworking, and she had a great career working for the state budget department. She took, you know, they take those civil servants tests to get promoted, so she would take all those tests all the time. She was always getting promoted. She ended up being a big shot over there, but prior to that career, she was about 5'9". I want to say 5'8", but I'll give her 5'9". She liked to be tall. She wanted to be taller than she was. So we'll say she's 5'9". But Anita was in repo, and she specialized in farm equipment. Can you imagine this little woman showing up at your farm to steal your combine? She did that, so she was a bad... That, to me, to be a woman and be in farm repo, which if you can't picture that, it means that you've driven into the country, into the rural countryside where there's no one around to see what's happening or help you. And then if you don't understand how repo works, it means that you're going to steal something. Now, it's legal because they didn't pay it for it. But the action is no different. So when they repo your car, some guy comes and steals it. That's how it works. He doesn't have the keys. He's going to steal it. So that's what she was doing. She was stealing farm equipment. So, and repo requires the element of surprise. So it meant that she was this young lady. She was young at the time. She wasn't 30, I don't think. And she would drive out there in her little Jeep with her CB radio, and she would steal your farm equipment and not die. That's the miraculous part. I really think to be a woman in agricultural repossession business is similar in esteem in my mind to being like a Navy SEAL. The idea of you doing it and surviving seems unlikely. And so, yeah, that was her. Fearless woman. And I once said to her, I knew I had a friend in high school who was a feminist, big time feminist, big into feminism. And I said to my Anita, I said, oh, my friend Amy, super nice, and she's a feminist, you probably would like her. And my Aunt Anita said, why? And I said, oh, I don't know, she's pretty cool and she's a feminist. And my Aunt Anita said, yeah, I probably wouldn't like her, I'm not a feminist. And my brain exploded, because I didn't understand how you could be an accomplished woman, lesbian, unmarried to a man, no man in her life, no children, and not be a feminist. That just seemed like that's what you'd be. And she said, no, Dennis, I'm not a feminist. I have a sense of humor. I thought that was hysterical. So then I applied that theory, that specific to feminism theory, to all the ists. So if anyone who describes themselves and puts an ist on the end, they don't think the thing that they are subscribing to is funny. There's nothing funny about it. You may not laugh. Which is why I think we should call vegans veganists. Because they have no sense of humor about their soy or animals or those evil meat eaters. So the kids are having their walkout thing. So yeah, it's this communist anti-gun. It's essentially anti-American. A bunch of the stuff I saw on it, they're tying in police brutality and say, I don't know. It's ridiculous. But one of the requirements to be that, to be a socialist or a progressive or a postmodernist, whatever it is you have to not know anything at all about two subjects. You cannot know anything at all about history, and you cannot know anything at all about how the world actually works. So the only people who are socialists, communists, whatever, are children, because they don't know any history at all, because the school doesn't teach history, and they don't know how the world works, because they've been playing Xbox in their mom's house for their whole life. And then also over-universitied urban dwellers. And similarly, they don't know history because, as we already discussed, school doesn't teach it, and they only know things they learned at school. And that sort of office-y, academic, urban environment is not conducive to figuring out how the actual world actually works. So it's where you get things like in British Columbia, Canada, where the population mostly resides in Vancouver, but it's a much, much larger province. Reminds me, in theory, of New York State, where we have all the people live in one little six-mile stupid island, and all the rest of the state is stuck dealing with the whimsical dictates of those people who know nothing about what we're even doing up here. So British Columbia is like that, except that they really have some real wilderness. We have the Adirondack State Park, which is real wilderness, but nobody goes there, really, and there's nobody living there. So, to most of it. And then, so they have that. And the people of Vancouver decided it wasn't nice to shoot bears because, you know, bears are nice and cuddly and teddy bears, and they're so wonderful and beautiful. What majestic creatures, those bears. We love them. So they voted to outlaw bear hunting. So now you've got farmers and ranchers who are dealing with a bear overpopulation problem, and their livelihood is being eaten. and they're being attacked by bears. So the only way you could do that is if you have no idea how the world actually works. You know, that bears don't have predators and that there's plenty of food, and if you don't hunt them. The only thing that hunts a bear in British Columbia is a guy with a really powerful rifle or another bear, because they are cannibals. But that's it. But if you grew up in Vancouver and you went to university and you live in Vancouver and you work at a tech startup or marketing firm, you hang out with all your liberal friends and you just want to save the bears from the mean hunters, you don't understand anything. So yeah, so then you can be a socialist, and then you can want to take away everyone's guns, and you can believe that white police officers are hunting black people, which is the most absurd. Have you ever, did I do an episode on the, real quick, so I'm a big fan of law enforcement. Although some, if I don't know them personally, they do make me a bit nervous. But mostly it's because I know they're nervous. But big fan of law enforcement generally. I've got a lot of my wife's family is law enforcement. And they're awesome. And I've got some friends I grew up with that are law enforcement. And they're awesome. And their buddies are all good. And I think they have a really difficult job. And it's hard to do. And it's dangerous and stressful. But the actual statistics on people being shot by police, now you can't look at it strictly from racial lines. So like 13% of the population in North America, in United States of America is black or of black descent. And if you would look at it and say, okay, if more than 13% of the shooting victims by police are black, then it's racist. But that doesn't work because nobody's getting shot by police like where I live. So, of any color. So you've got, well, there was one guy a couple years ago. But generally speaking, nobody's being shot by the police. So the areas of the country that have these things happen are skewed. But anyway, forget all that for a minute. It's one of the numbers they use to say it's racist, but it doesn't work if you really look at it. But the police officers who shoot black people, that seems relevant. Black police officers are very, very, very overrepresented in that group of officers who shot black suspects. I think the reason is really clear. It's because they're not nervous about being called racist. I think the white police officers are very nervous about being called racist and are really hesitant to shoot black people. Even when they think their life's in danger. So that one's interesting. And then the other statistic that got me was that a police officer in the United States of America, and I picked a year at random, but they're all pretty similar. But I think I did 2014. So we'll do that. In 2014, a police officer of any ethnic background, male, female, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, Latino, Latina, was 5 times more likely to be shot by a black person than a black person was to be shot by a police officer. And you have to assume that at least some of the time the police officers shoot people, they're stuck. They have to. Self-defense, or they're defending some innocent person. So if you account for that, if we figured out how many of those were, let's say half, let's just say half of the time it's legit, because we all know there's like some messed up stuff is on, but we'll go half. Now a police officer, which there's no justification for shooting a police officer, is 10 times more likely to be shot by a black person than a black person is shot by a police officer. That's not a, nobody likes that statistic. Tried to peddle that article for a while. Nobody wanted to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Because either it goes against your narrative, or it sounds racist. Doesn't that sound... It sounds racist. I'm not being racist. I'm just reporting statistics as provided to me by the FBI. Which is very nice of them to do that, but... Statistics are troublesome. Scientific studies and statistics are troublesome. I'm banned from Twitter Germany, which is funny because I used to live there. I speak German fluently. I've got a ton of German friends. I love Germany. It's a great place and some great people. And, you know, aside from the whole conquer the world thing. Once they got past that, they seemed like they relaxed a little bit. And, yeah, so I'm banned from German Twitter, because I shared the results of a medical study that showed the rates of inbreeding amongst Muslim migrants in Europe. And I'll spoil it for you. It's extremely high. And that apparently is hate speech. I didn't even say it. I just shared the thing. Like, oh, this is interesting. Banned. I violated the law. And I think I violated the law in the United Kingdom, too, because one of their police departments tweeted out a thing about, you're going to stop online hate speech. So I asked them if... I told you I'm kind of a little bit snarky sometimes, troublemaker. So I asked the police department if I were to say that Islam is a satanic death cult and that they worship a pedophile, would that be considered hate speech? And they didn't answer me. I think that's illegal. I don't think you can even ask that question in the United Kingdom. I believe that would be a violation of their speech laws. Because, again, America is the only country in the world that has free speech. Despite what your liberal college professors told you about the rest of the world having free speech, they do not. Just America. Even Canada does not have it. Just the United States of America. And we seem to be hell-bent on ruining it and getting rid of it, which doesn't make any sense. So the kids are out marching and demonstrating for their thing. So there's been jokes. I've seen jokes about 420. They've done it today, 420, which is Marijuana Day. It actually was done because it's the anniversary of Columbine, which my daughter knows about and said to me last night, why are they doing it for Columbine? That was before I was born. So high schoolers today, I don't know, is that true? Is that 20 years ago? High schoolers today were not alive when Columbine happened. And I was home in front of the TV when it happened. And we looked it up. My wife and I looked it up a couple months ago to try to figure out. Because I was in front of the television set for Oklahoma City bombing and for Columbine. And I think Columbine happened when I was in college. Was that 98? And I don't know why I was in front of the TV. I'm not a big TV watcher. I never have been. And I always found that interesting that for those two events, I was actually watching the TV. But Oklahoma City, I think I was homesick or I just had my wisdom teeth out or something. That one that was like for our generation, that was like the Kennedy, Lee Harvey Oswald assassination on TV. But, then 9/11 was also pretty bad. But Columbine was a shock because that was the first real school shooting. And the perpetrators of Columbine, unlike many shooters since, were very careful to leave a long and explicit explanation for exactly why they were doing what they were doing. Essentially, they were completely embittered and nihilistic people who were in pain and wanted the world to feel the pain they were feeling. And they thought the way to do that was to kill their classmates. And I think they picked their classmates because they felt alienated from that group of people and blamed them for it. And Columbine would have been a whole lot worse. They had more planned. They had bombs set and a bunch of different things that didn't work, thank God. But that would have been a more horrific event than it already was. But if you read the writings of Klebold and Harris, I think you really get a window into all these mass shootings. No one talks about that. They just talk about the gun thing. But you can get kind of a window into the soul of these people and what they're up to and why they're doing what they're doing, if you assume that it's consistent, that the motivation is consistent. And I think it, in those documents, the manifesto of the Columbine shooters, is the answer to how do you solve the problem. think access to guns is part of the issue. So, but the communist kids want to ban guns, and they want federal laws. So the part where they don't know any history is the part that's amusing. And apparently they don't know that the Supreme Court has ruled repeatedly that laws restricting firearm ownership are unconstitutional. And in case anyone's keeping track, the court is not more liberal than it was the last time they heard a case on guns. And I really can't imagine the current court. The liberals on the court today are not going to survive to the end of Trump's term, I don't think. So that means that the court will be more conservative than it is now and was the last time I heard a gun case for the next 20 years. Give or take. Now, if we were really smart, what we would do is as soon as Ginsburg died, because that's the next one, and I think, was Kennedy going to retire? I think somebody's going to retire. But they're probably all going to try to hold out until Trump leaves office. But Ginsburg's, I don't think, going to make it. So let's say Ginsburg dies. So then what you should do then is all the conservatives on the court should retire. And they should be replaced with young, healthy, like 35-year-olds. Like Ben Shapiro-type aged guys, right? We'll put Shapiro on the court, a bunch of people, young people. And then we can have some constitutional conservatives on there for the next 40 years. Now, of course, they're not going to do that. They're egomaniacs. So, you know, Ginsburg would have done that when Obama was in office, if that was something that those people would entertain, but they don't. They don't do that. So these kids have no idea what they're doing. It's very funny. It's like the David Hogg is the main spokesman of the Parkland kids. And like, they just don't know what they're doing. They're just really young, inexperienced kids. They have no sense of humor. They've not experienced many things that you need to experience in life in order to have a fully formed opinion of the world. And also, the most recent studies show that the frontal lobe of your brain doesn't fully develop until you're in your 20s, especially for men, which deals with decision-making and processing thoughts. So basically, all teenage men are retarded. I don't mean that in an insulting way. I mean that literally. Their brain development is not complete. So their thinking is not optimized. Yeah. I don't know. Walk out of silly. So my kids' school, they're doing it. And it's funny because the administration, and for whatever reason, the town I live in is pretty conservative. The administration of the school is very not conservative. We have a comprehensive transgender bathroom policy at the school for the zero trans students who complained about the previous bathroom policy. I had to get that out of the way. That was important school board business, superintendent business. Make sure we got that all figured out. And then last year, I guess they decided to provide a Muslim prayer room for the, I don't know, 0.5% of the population of the school that's Muslim. But then there was all kinds of backlash against their Muslim prayer room, so they turned it, I think they just turned it into a non-denominational spiritual space or something, I don't know. That's probably Muslim prayer. So they got all that done. That's all important stuff. So the school initially came out and supported these students in their walkout protest. And then somebody mentioned to them, like, oh, you're the actual school that's actually charging hundreds of millions of dollars in tax money to the town. And you can't encourage kids to not go to school. So then they came out and said they don't support it. But they do support the kids in their efforts to become activists. And how important that is to their development, their young minds, and blah, 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 blah. When I was at the... I went to the same school. When I was there, there was a student named Angela Coppola. Am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to name people? Too late. And she was upset, perhaps justifiably, I don't really know, at the country of Burma. Because their human rights record, I think, if I remember right, they were mistreating some Burma people. I didn't think it's not even called Burma anymore. but back then it was called Burma. And they were mistreating some people, and so there were a number of American or transnational companies who did business there, and Angela Coppola didn't like that, and so she decided that she was going to lead a boycott to stop these companies from investing in Burma. Which is funny, because that's like Trump's policy. But back then, that was the communist view, was that you shouldn't support that kind of stuff. So she led this boycott, and the school let her do it. They let her build and set up a table and have all kinds of information, and they pulled Pepsi products, because one of the companies was Pepsi, which at the time, Pepsi and Frito-Lay were intertwined, and they also owned, I think, Long John Silver's, Taco Bell, and Kentucky Fried Chicken. I think that's all changed, who owns who and all that stuff. But they had this big thing where they were going to take Pepsi out of the vending machines at the school. We would only have Coca-Cola products in the vending machines at the school in protest of this Burma thing. And I thought that was so funny that, like, did they really think that if we delve deeply into Coca-Cola's business practices, we wouldn't find something we didn't agree with there as well? But the kids needed their corporately created sugar water. So we got only Coke. But what I thought was also funny was that Angela one day was leading her Burma PepsiCo protest at her little table and getting people to sign her petition. And her mother apparently knew she would be famished from all her activist endeavors, all the hard work she was doing. And so her mother brought her Taco Bell. And she was sitting at the table eating Taco Bell, which was a subsidiary of Pepsi, or vice versa. And she was eating her Taco Bell and leading a boycott against Pepsi. And I said, Angela, you know that Taco Bell, or Pepsi owns Taco Bell, right? So your boy, she was like, yeah, but it's so good, I can't give up Taco Bell. And I'm like, what's in that drink cup? Are you drinking Pepsi? And she's like, no, I'm drinking Mountain Dew. It's like, yeah, that's Pepsi. Yeah, but it's so good. That's how serious young activists are. There's no meat on the skeleton. So that's the thing now. So they're supporting the students in their activist endeavor to leave the school, but any classes they missed are unexcused. And they'll have to work with their teachers to make arrangements to make up the work. Whatever. So my daughter was very concerned that the whole school was going to go do this, 4,000 students. And she would be outed as not a communist. She said conservative. She's not super conservative, my daughter. She's 15 years old, so she doesn't really have that great of a grasp of her own opinion. But she's not super conservative or super passionate about it, but she is not a communist. And she was very worried she would be outed. And I told her, nobody's doing it. I said, there's, you know, like 10%, so 100 kids that are, or 400 kids that are communists are all going to do it. And then all the kids who are looking for a good reason not to go to class, they'll join them. With no concern whatsoever about the actual issue. But a good excuse to skip class won't be passed up by some kids. So that's what I told her. I go, maybe that's another like 20%. So you might have 1,000 kids out there out of 4,000. You won't be alone in the school. So I think she didn't walk out. But I'm not big on telling the kids what to do. I like to tell the kids, you know, both sides. You figure it out. But here's what's good and here's what's bad. You decide what you want to do. So, but it's very silly. All of it's very silly. I don't think they have a grasp of Columbine or what led to it. I don't think they have a grasp of history of anything. And I think that they've been brainwashed by their parents and the school system, and they're just kind of acting out. They think they're going to change the world, man. And they all need to listen to Jordan Peterson. We'll close today's podcast with some advice from Jordan Peterson. If you would like to change the world, you need to start by cleaning your room. Hey, thanks everybody. I hope you had a great day today. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. My wife and I are going to celebrate our anniversary this evening. We're very excited. We're going to dump the kids off at my parents' house and go out to dinner. So it should be exciting and fun. I hope you all have a similarly fantastic weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.